Pod.
Fox Forecast.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine, breezy and chilly tomorrow, the high 35. And then for Thursday, some sunshine, high 35 to 40. This is WeatherBattle.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Talk about great prices. Center Hall Farm Store has fantastic deals to help you save money all winter long on heating wood pellets.
Come here, Bear. Come on. Come on.
Oh, yeah. And for your ferocious little pomapoo, shepherd, horses, and just about every other farm animal, even your birds. Center Hall Farm Store has created its own perfect, unique mixture of feed, along with commercial feed of your choice. Center Hall Farm Store, 110 West Allison Street, Center Hall. CenterHallFarmStore.com.
The weather is changing, and so is 98.7 The Fox. That means winter sports season, and our microphones will be busy in the coming weeks and months with live play-by-play action of all six Center County high schools, girls and boys, basketball and wrestling. Keep listening to 98.7 The Fox to find out when your favorite team will be featured. From December to February, winter sports are back, and the home of the best local high school action is right here.
98.7 The Fox!
Oh no, your windshield just broke. You don't know what to do. Simple. Call Auto Glass Center, a locally owned company serving the Center region for over 40 years. They work on every make and model and also specialize in glass replacement for commercial trucks, farm tractors, heavy construction machinery, motorhomes, campers, and classic vehicles. Using insurance? No problem. They work with every insurance company. Just tell them you want the best. You want Auto Glass Center. 814-234-3431. 814-234-3431.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am joining the Joel Confer Singers. Joel, Corey, and Seth Confer, Alan Hall, Ted Woodring, Dave Lannon, Michael King, Kyle Hendricks, and Steve Geyer. They're about to perform. Let's listen.
Now there's Tundra, Corolla, and Avalon too. RAV4, Sienna, 3 Prius for you. But do you recall the most famous Toyota of all? Camry, the world's bestseller. Confers has one just for you. And when you come and see them, there's some great you might buy too.
Then there's Tacoma, Forerunner, and cars that are new.
With holiday deals that are waiting for you.
Merry Christmas!
Unbelievable. Joe Comfort, Toyota, BMW, 120 East Clinton Avenue, State College.
WFXX, Fuzzy Gas, The Fox, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA's Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, The Fox, State College. Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys. 98.7, The Fox.
Santa baby, slip a stable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl.
Gee, can you tell what time of year it is? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we thought we'd liven things up a little bit with some Christmassy little intro music. So why not? That sounds pretty cool. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Again, Scott Giese here with you. Our friend the Ironhead Jeff Byers is on assignment today. He's actually working. I think he's actually working, doing some wrestling thing. But anyway, we'll have more on that. We'll have some more open line time in the latter part of this hour. But I mentioned earlier that last week I came across just an interesting story about roads that just kind of, bing, caught my eye for a particular reason, which I'll share in a little bit. But we've got a couple of guests from PennDOT. Again, next week we're going to have a guest talking about the Route 322 project, the Big Kahuna, between Bowlesburg and Potter's Mills. All right, we're going to have that one later next week, so be ready for that. But first off, we want to welcome to the program Jeff Booker, who is the Chief of Highway Design and Technology for PennDOT. And first off, Mr. Booker, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thanks, Scott. Glad to be here.
That's a pretty big title, the Chief of Highway Design and Technology.
Well,
what does that mean?
You know government and our titles. Anyhow, yes, I'm currently the Chief of the Highway Design and Technology Division within Central Office, which was actually a division within the Bureau of Design and Delivery within highway administration, so, you know, the government hierarchy. So it's a division. I don't know if you want to go a little. I actually graduated from Penn State back in 1999, so I've now been with PennDOT for about 34 years here in Harrisburg. So, yeah, that's my current position. Okay. And as far as roundabouts go, I've been the roundabout coordinator for the state since about 2010. So.
All right, now that's I want to talk about, you know, roads in general and all that stuff, highway design and so on. But the reason I reached out to you folks, and you kind of touched on it there briefly, there was a story from one of the Harrisburg TV stations last week about this thing called roundabouts. Now, first off, by the way, may we call you Jeff? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep,
all right.
That's what I usually
Thank
go
you.
By.
All right. I mean, Jeff, first off, exactly what is a roundabout? Because I'm going to guess there are some people, because I'm trying to think where I'm sitting right now, anywhere within a, oh boy, hour and a half radius, I can't even think of a roundabout in this neighborhood, like the middle, like right here in the middle of the state. So first off, let's get a definition exactly. What exactly is a roundabout?
Well, first I'd like to tell you what they're not. They're not those old-style New Jersey traffic circles that people commonly reference about how poorly they've been operating that were built in the 60s and 70s and are being taken out. The roundabouts are modern roundabouts. They're fairly, they're sized as small as practical to get a design vehicle through. It's an and the design vehicle is typically your standard tractor trailer. And so they're intersection treatments, and like a signalized intersection that'd be placed in place of a signalized intersection or a stop sign controlled intersection. And the idea is that they're designed so that entering vehicles are speeds are reduced by the geometry alignment of entering the road, of entering the circulating roadway. So there's a flared angled entry to slow vehicles down. So you're only going through the roundabout at about 25 miles an hour, or preferably even a little bit less. There's a center island, which is typically landscaped, and around the center island is what we call a truck apron, which is a couple inches higher than the circulating roadway that the cars are in. And the truck apron's purpose is for when trucks go through, the rear trailer tires go up on the apron. And that helps keep vehicle speeds down by keeping the cars and the truck cabs in the roadway portion, but it gives some extra room for the trailer tires to track up onto. So the vehicle speeds, like I said, are reduced, are forced to be reduced by the way they're designed, and the angled entry significantly reduces the severity of crashes. So you're going at a low speed, you're entering, a vehicle's going around at a low speed. So when there is a conflict, and when they do have a crash in the roundabout, it's typically low speed, angled type, fender bender type crashes, rather than the more severe T-bone type collisions you can have at signalized intersections with people making left turns across traffic and so forth. So, and then many of them have pedestrian crossings, especially as you get into more urban areas. So, yeah, so the concept is as you approach the roundabout, you have to yield to the circulating traffic. The circulating traffic has the right-of-way. When you're in the circular roadway, you have to keep moving, because if you stop to let people in, that just causes more confusion and backup. So the idea is the circulating traffic just keeps going, goes through their exit and exits, and the traffic approaching is to yield to the circulating traffic, which in many cases means stop if there's enough traffic in the roundabout. It's not just merge in. You have to yield until there's an acceptable gap to pull into. So
right.
That's generally how they function and their sizing and so forth.
All right, now you kind of answered a question for me. And again, I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, okay, where? I don't know if it has a name. A town square is not a roundabout. You kind of mentioned that at the very beginning. And I'm thinking, and again, I can't think of any around here. I'm thinking New Bloomfield is a small town down in Perry County. Right in the middle of New Bloomfield is this circle where there's a statue of some kind in the middle of the circle.
Yeah.
And that's like a town square. That is not a roundabout, right? That is not
correct.
What we're talking about? Okay.
Correct. That's a town square, a traffic circle. They were common in lots of towns. Gettysburg has a large one. Roundabouts are just the intersection. There should be nothing in the central island that would attract people out to the central island. The pedestrian crossings are on the roadway legs only. There should be no access to the central island for pedestrians. With landscaping aspects, they can be used for like gateways to communities and so forth. And as far as one in the area, in central Pennsylvania, there aren't a lot yet, but out at on 322, out at Potter's Mills, the 144-322 interchange that was recently built, there's actually a roundabout there when you get off of 322 at the interchange.
Yes.
If you're familiar with that interchange,
yes.
There's one there. And then there's two in, I believe, more like residential neighborhoods, so they aren't on the state roadway system, but there's two, I believe, over on the other side of the golf courses there in State College. Let me see if I have that
one. Not sure. But actually,
Ferguson Township, there's a couple over there.
Yeah, the Potter's,
but those are more local ones.
I'm officially embarrassed because the Potter's Mills one is the one I should have, because that's virtually in my backyard. And, of course, that was part of that redesigned road from the last, we'll say, couple of years now. And I'm still thinking of the old Potter's Mills intersection out there, which is now, it's kind of there, but not part of the main road anymore. But yes, that would be a roundabout. And again, Jeff, a roundabout, I mean, give me a size, or give our listeners kind of a size, because the Potter's Mills one is a little thing. I mean, it's not some big giant piece of ground. I mean, how big is this normally?
That's correct. A single lane roundabout like that one, that's for interchange ramps. I don't know that size specifically, but single lane roundabouts typically have a diameter, inscribed diameter from the outer edges of the roadway across it of about 120 to 180 feet. And then if you get into a two lane or multi lane roundabouts, they get up to maybe a little over 200 feet. So they're still not all that large, but they do typically take up more space at the intersection itself than a signalized intersection would, for the roadway to, because for the circular pattern through the intersection. So they are typically bigger than a signalized intersection, take up a little more space, but frequently the roadways coming in don't necessarily have to be as wide as they might for a signalized intersection accommodating, say, a separate left turn lane down the middle. You can still maybe just have your two lanes for the most part approaching. So sometimes the right-of-way requirement can balance out a little. But yes, they're typically a little larger than a standard signalized intersection would be.
Now, here's the reason this kind of piqued my interest last week. I saw this story, again, from one of the TV stations in Harrisburg, and I thought, yes, I've seen this before. Over a year ago, my wife and I took a trip to northern Italy. This was a trip we were supposed to take in the summer of 2020. Well, nobody was taking trips in the summer of 2020, folks, if you remember back then. And so it got postponed, and we finally went last year, had a terrific time in northern Italy. And Jeff, one of the things I remember is every day we went out, did some sightseeing and stuff. I saw roundabouts everywhere in little towns there and in some cities there. And I remember, like, hey, these are kind of cool, because up until that point, I really didn't have that much experience with that many roundabouts out there. And so here in northern Italy, they were everywhere, seemingly. I thought, this is a great idea. And then when I saw the story last week, I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's the thing. Now, Jeff, from your knowledge, are these much more prevalent, I don't know, in Europe, in other countries? And we're just behind the curve on this one?
Pretty much. That's a good way to say it. Yeah, they started, I don't know if the earlier ones started in England and then spread across Europe. I'm not exactly sure. But in the United States, we've only been building what they're considered modern roundabouts since the early 1990s, so really only like 30 years or so. But in that time span, now there's up to over 10,000 of them now throughout the country. And I think Carmel, Indiana, outside of Indianapolis, has the record for just a city. They have over 180. I think they have close to 200 just in their city. But as far as Pennsylvania goes, we're now up to about 80 on our state route system. There's another, I don't know, 20-some on local roads, but I'm not sure. I don't really track those as well as the ones on the state road system. But the state route system, yeah, we're now up over 80, with another maybe 20 on projects that are currently in construction. So we're advancing them and building them at the rate of, I don't know, maybe eight or so a year are getting put in throughout the state on our state system. So we're progressing, and in the past, when we'd go to public meetings and say, hey, we're going to put a roundabout here, but it was kind of a new concept to most people, and there was a lot of resistance to them, because they, like I said, frequently think of the old New Jersey-style traffic circles and so forth, which didn't work too well. But these are designed quite differently. They're encouraged by the Federal Highway Administration because of their significant safety benefits and even operational benefits. A lot of times we put them in to help reduce delay at intersections and so forth, so the traffic flows through smoother and better, so you aren't sitting at a traffic light unnecessarily when there's no vehicles coming, especially at like off-peak times. There was a big time savings there for people that are traveling.
All right, I'm just curious, Jeff. We got about 30 seconds till we have to take a break. The New Jersey style. What's wrong with the New Jersey style? What's the problem over there?
Well, I haven't actually been in New Jersey in quite a while, but they're just the older ones. I mean, they have some modern roundabouts. I don't know how many they've put in, but the older style. A lot of times they were set up so that the circulating traffic would have to stop and let in the vehicles approaching, and some were larger and higher speed. Circular intersections, so they just didn't function as well as the modern roundabouts that we've been putting in. So I don't want to necessarily pick on New Jersey too much, but that's where we get a lot of pushback back at public meetings, is that's what are in people's minds. And operationally they're quite different.
All right, we're going to take a break, Jeff. Please hold on. We're talking with Jeff Booker from PennDOT about this idea about roundabouts. Folks, I think this is a really great idea that maybe some area folks might want to pursue. All right, we'll continue that talk. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come back right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Fox on the run. From statecollege.com and Fox Sports 98.7, Penn State added more depth to its offensive line with its first transfer portal edition of the cycle in the form of offensive tackle Alan Heron. Heron hits the scales at 310 pounds and hails from the Division II Shorter University. He announced his intentions to enroll at Penn State on social media early Monday afternoon. Heron was a fairly sought-after prospect, with Penn State winning out over the likes of Maryland and Clemson, among others. Heron will have 2 years of eligibility eligibility remaining once he enrolls at Penn State.
The Happy Valley is a nickname for the State College area. Apparently, the term was coined during the Great Depression when the town was not hit as hard by the economic situation due to Penn State University's influence. Iron furnaces sprang up in the region, using timber, ore, and flowing streams. The furnaces have been preserved and still can be seen today. It wasn't long before higher education took the place of iron as the new area industry. The Farmers High School, founded in 1855, would later become Penn State University.
Here's your Ocean State Job Lot Foxcast. Some sunshine and milder today, the high 44. Partly cloudy tonight, low near 25.
Fox Forecast.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine, breezy and chilly tomorrow, the high 35. And then for Thursday, some sunshine, high 35 to 40. This is WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Hi, this is Corey Comfort from Joel Comfort Toyota and State College. Are you looking for a dealership to call home? Joel Comfort Toyota is a locally owned family business that has been serving the community for over 45 years. Come see us and let us help you with your next vehicle experience. We're located at 120 East Clinton Avenue in State College, just behind the Waffle Shop on North Athens Street. Or visit us 24/7 at joelcomfort.com. And remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
The title and tag service that is customer-friendly and locally owned is at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned in Pleasant Gap. And as part of the Joel Confer family of dealerships, Monica Prisk is experienced and has been serving customers for 13 years. Cameron Confer is on the title and tag team and is there to help you with all of your title and tag needs. Stop at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned at 475 East College Avenue in Pleasant Gap and have Monica or Cameron answer any of your title and tag questions. Remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
Talk about great prices. Center Hall Farm Store has fantastic deals to help you save money all winter long on heating wood pellets.
Come here, Bear. Come on. Come on.
Oh, yeah. And for your ferocious little Pomapoo, shepherd, horses, and just about every other farm animal, even your birds. Center Hall Farm Store has created its own perfect, unique mixture of feed, along with commercial feed of your choice. Center Hall Farm Store, 110 West Allison Street. Center Hall. CenterHallFarmStore.com.
Santa's coming to town!
Santa!
Oh my. The Fox Sports 98.7 with the original Christmas Wish Contest. Santa Fox wants to grant your Christmas wish during the 12 days of Christmas.
What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Email us your Christmas wish at thefoxsports987@gmail.com. That's thefoxsports987@gmail.com.
Totally up to Santa Fox, but you may be one of the lucky Fox fans. Get your wish granted.
And you don't even have to sit on Santa's lap.
You sit on a throne of lies. Not like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
It's the original Christmas wish gift contest.
From the radio station that believes in keeping Jesus Christ in Christmas.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Sports Radio 98.7. That's fun!
Turn it up!
Turn it up! Turn it up!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys 98.7 The Fox!
Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Prospero año y felicidad.
Ah, the countdown to Christmas. It's now official because we're playing funky music. All right, so we're official. Hi, friends. Scott here. It's Let's Talk on a Tuesday morning program. Again, the Iron Head Jeff Fires back tomorrow. He's out doing some wrestling. Important wrestling work. No, he's not wrestling. At least I hope not. Anyway, we have some open line time coming up a little later on. All right, so stay tuned for that. Again, we're joined here by Jeff Booker from the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. And again, primarily we're talking about this idea that I saw in a story last week about roundabouts for, you know, traffic in various parts of the state. And again, I share the story of when I was in northern Italy on a vacation with my wife last year, and I saw these everywhere, and I thought, these things really work, as opposed to a traffic signal. And so, now, Jeff, let's say that somebody's listening this morning. First off, how can we divide this? There are three kinds of roads, maybe. There are interstates. Now, around here, that would be 80 and 99. There are state routes, 322, would be one, obviously. And then there are just local roads, you know, I don't know, in a township road or something. I mean, first off, this roundabout idea would work for any of those types of roads, or maybe only certain types of roads?
Yeah, it can. Well, on interstates, we've been starting to put them in at interchanges where you go up the or down the ramps when you exit or enter. Where we put those in a few places where now they have roundabouts instead of stop signs or signals. Only at a few locations. I know the I-70 in Newstan, which isn't necessarily new near you guys, but yeah, that there's they went in down there maybe 10 years ago now. But at a few locations, we've done that. And then for the state route system, other you have what we call arterials for your major, more or less major through fares, 322, major routes that aren't interstates. Our arterials. So if you have higher speeds, we put them, they usually need a larger, like a multi-lane roundabout if you have a four-lane roadway or so forth to get them through. And we only have, I think, maybe six of those across the state. And they tend to cause a little more driver confusion than the single-lane roundabouts. So there aren't many of those, but we're slowly building more, but the most common are the single lane roundabouts, which are typically put in on what we'd refer to as more collector roadways with just one lane of traffic in each direction. And so those are where they're most common to replace a signal or a stop sign controlled intersections on two lane roadways.
So in other words,
where you'd put in most of them.
So, in other words, is part of the, I'm assuming, the idea for the future is you folks are going to put more of these things in, you know, various places and so on. Is the idea that these are going to replace intersections that have traffic lights, or is this more of a, I don't know, like a new road thing? Well, and since we're putting in a new road, we're going to put this in here. Is it a replacement or just some new thing?
Well, it can really be both. Whenever we have a significant intersection improvement project, like traffic's too backed up or delayed at peak times, and they would need to add in like a left turn lane to accommodate the additional traffic volumes, or then we go back and look, well, maybe we should actually put a roundabout at this intersection to replace the signal and see if that would operate better and more efficiently than adding, say, a left turn lane. So we look at that when we're considering what to put in its place. Now, roundabouts aren't always found to be the best option. There's an analysis involved in determining what type of intersection is the best. And one of the issues with roundabouts is they need to be on a fairly level grade. And, you know, Pennsylvania has lots of hills. So sometimes it's challenging to be able to level off an area well enough to accommodate a roundabout in many locations. So that can be an issue as well, the topography.
Now, earlier, yes. you mentioned some safety statistics. Are there any, I don't know, money statistics, like a roundabout somehow costs less money than a standard intersection with traffic lights? I mean, does that come into play here at all?
Well, that comes into play a little bit when we're determining what intersection type to put in. There's kind of a cost-benefit analysis over the design life of the intersection, but that also factors in aspects like reduced injuries, reduced delay to the user, and so forth as well. And in those aspects, the roundabout usually is shown that it'll perform better in those aspects and essentially be a savings. But the initial construction cost of a roundabout is typically more than a signalized intersection. From what I could find looking back, putting in a single lane roundabout seems to average somewhere between $1.5 to $3 million for a roundabout intersection project. But over time, like I said, you have essentially reduced delay, reduced injuries. You also, you don't have to deal with the signal maintenance and replacement and signal timing. And the roundabouts operate when the power goes out too. So,
oh, there's a thought.
You don't you don't have that aspect. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't even think about that one. Okay. Jeff, let's say somebody's listening today, you know, I don't know, a township supervisor or an interested citizen or something, and they're thinking, yeah, this intersection we have, boy, that roundabout thing sounds like something we could probably use there. Is that something that a local entity can, I don't know, request? Or is this something that only comes from you, comes from Harrisburg, comes from the top? In other words, does this come from the top down or the bottom up? Can somebody request a roundabout? Is that possible?
Yeah, you usually go through your local township or municipality government and make sure they're aware of an intersection where there's a problem. And then we have municipal planning organizations. I'm not exactly sure which one covers Center County. But then those organizations list projects for the area that they cover that they coordinate then with PennDOT for the year based on funding aspects and so forth to prioritize their projects. And if a roundabout's requested in an intersection, that would have to get coordinated through the local planning organization, and then with PennDOT, and for that the district office is up in Clearfield there for Center County's in our District 2 region, and their PennDOT office is up in Clearfield.
Okay. Yeah, I think
hopefully that kind of covers it.
Yeah, we've got a guest next week's schedule. We're going to talk about the big RE322 project, and yeah, I believe it's somebody from the Clearfield office because they cover like this particular area there. So okay, in our final few minutes here, all right, you're the chief of highway design and technology. Yeah, that's a big title. I'm just curious. Besides roundabouts, which I think again are cool, I think they really work. I've seen them like in my trip to Italy. I'm like, well, this is really great. And people are moving around. Nobody's bashing cars.
Yes.
No T-boning, you know, all that sort of stuff that you mentioned earlier. Are there any other, I'm just curious, I don't know, innovations and so on? Actually, let me start with this question, Jeff. And I don't know if this is accurate anymore because I'm going back a few years. The claim that Pennsylvania has more roads than any other state in the union. Is that true? Was that true? How do we compare as far as the number of roads that we have out there? Any idea?
Any idea? I don't know the statistics off the top of my head, but I believe we have around 40,000 state roadway miles in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure offhand if other states have more or not, but yes, I have heard in the past that that's for the responsibility of the state government of PennDOT. Other states may have more roads, but a lot more that are handled by the municipalities than the state. So,
oh, I see. Okay.
So there's the difference there, as there's state-maintained roadways. Our state-maintained roadway system, I believe, is around 40,000 miles. So okay, other states might have a lot more miles, but the state-maintained roadway system, ours, is one of the largest, but I'm not exactly sure where it falls.
Okay, so you're saying PennDOT has more jurisdiction on roads than maybe most other states. More roads they have to cover,
yes.
Right? Oh, I got you. All right. I see. All right. Besides roundabouts, if we're talking about highway design, any other interesting ideas maybe that kind of you're working on or PennDOT's working on as far as either improvements to roads or future roads out there? I mean, what's the next highway innovation, I guess we could say? That's a big question.
Well, we're constantly dealing with the pavement quality and pavement aspects between bituminous and concrete and so forth. And that's not a topic I really planned on getting into, but that's okay. One of the items that we work on frequently, as well as guide rail and barriers on the side of the road and end treatments at guide rails and so forth to make sure that they're up to standard. And then there's other intersection types out there, innovative intersection types that we're considering. Like there's a displaced left turn type of intersection to help reduce traffic flow for left turns, where the traffic essentially, it's hard to explain, but would cross over the opposing traffic before you get to the main intersection and then be in a lane on the far side. And then we also have, I'll bring up diverging diamond interchanges, which we have several now at, let's see, I don't think there's any in the state. There's some down here. There's two down here in south of Harrisburg, and there's one out in Washington, PA. But a diverging diamond interchange is to handle large left-turn movements at interchanges where it's signalized, but the traffic at the signal crosses over and flows essentially on the other side of the barrier than usual to make the left turns and then switch back once you're through the interchange. But it's hard to explain over the
phone.
It'd be much easier with an image. But those are helping to reduce traffic.
Yeah, getting pretty technical.
To improve delay as well. So, yes. We have several things going on that we're trying to implement in advance. So,
all right, here's one for you. We just have a couple minutes left. All right, electric vehicles. You know, we're supposed to all run out and buy an electric vehicle. Now, most folks are not doing that, but over time, all right, we'll see. Electric vehicles and highways, any kind of difference there? Or does, as far as the work that you do, doesn't really matter?
For the work that I do, it doesn't really matter for electric vehicles. I know there's initiatives for charging stations and so forth and things like that, but that's not an area that I'm really involved with.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to think. I saw a story recently. There's some stretch of road in near Detroit, and it's an experimental stretch of road where allegedly if you drive an electric vehicle down this stretch of road, it'll recharge your car. Now I'm thinking that's something PennDOT should be working on. Has anybody brought the rechargeable road?
I did hear of that. I'm not aware of that as being an effort that we're pursuing, but again, that would be, I'll just leave it at that, because you got the cost, you got the cost components, so forth, and you know, prudent use of taxpayer dollars, and how much is that going to cost to install that type of roadway compared to the benefit to the user and so forth. But that's not something I'm aware that of us pursuing at this time.
There you go. Put that on the to-do list. Of sorts. Hey, Jeff, we really appreciate your time this morning. And I tell you what, I'm going to be on the lookout for these roundabouts because, I mean, put it this way. You mentioned that if there's some local person that says, hey, we should try that, somebody from a local, like an official municipality person, would, I guess, get in touch with PennDOT to say, hey, we're interested in that. That's the way that works?
Yeah, they could do that. They could reach out to PennDOT or their local planning organization, if they know who that is, and we can get that coordinated.
Planning commissions. Okay, yeah, I should have thought of that one.
Planning
commissions. Okay.
Yes.
Well, Jeff, this was enlightening. I learned a few things today, and I hope to see more of these things because I think they're pretty cool. So thank you very much for joining us this morning.
We're working on it. All right.
Have
no problem. Glad to talk to you.
All right. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you very much. Again, that's Jeff Booker from the State Department of Transportation. Be on the lookout for roundabouts, folks. I think they're pretty cool. They work. No more T-boning. That would be a very good thing. If we could have fewer accidents at intersections, I think this thing could do it. But let's stay tuned for that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back one more segment. Lots to talk about here on Let's Talk. You're listening to 98.7 The Fox.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. Fox on the run. The Fox.
From statecollege.com and Fox.